An influential veterans organization is demanding action from Congress on a number of legislative fronts, including the growing number of veteran suicides. Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, IAVA, introduced its 2014 policy agenda to Congress this week. It's all a part of the 10th annual IAVA Storms the Hill. Here to tell us more is Lauren Augustine. She's legislative associate for IAVA. Lauren, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
All right. So let's talk about mental health. That's your top priority. Tell us what it is you want Congress to do right now and why.
Sure. So as you said, our number one issue for 2014 is our campaign to combat veteran suicide. And that really came from two things. One, our 2014 membership survey. Our members told us that was the number one issue facing our community. And two, recent VA data suggests that 22 veterans are dying by suicide every day. So we really felt that this was the right time to act with Afghanistan hopefully winding down within the next year and just a surge of troops coming home and a huge transitioning force coming back. We really wanted to make sure that the mental health care support was there for those that needed it. And we're doing this in a three-prong approach. We're calling on Congress to pass the SAVE Act, which we have Senator Walsh introducing in the Senate. We've got a few offices who are interested in introducing in the House, and that's a comprehensive bill. Then we're also calling on the President to issue an executive order to address this issue. And then lastly, we're calling on America to really engage as a community to welcome veterans home and make sure that everybody feels comfortable taking care in their own community if that's what they need.
Well, let's talk about that community first. I mean, what should people know about returning veterans that could help prevent someone, say, from thinking of taking their own life?
I think the most important thing is that people become engaged on veterans' issues and really learn to understand what it means to be a veteran. Specifically looking at Iraq and Afghanistan veterans, that only makes up 1% of the American population, which can be extremely isolating. So the more people are engaged and the more people are willing to listen to veterans and understand veterans' issues, it really shows veterans that it's okay to seek help. And we know that getting help helps, which is sort of the end message of this whole campaign, is we just want as many veterans as needed go seek the help that they do need.
And if something were to come from the president's office, an executive order, what would you like to see in it?
There's a few things we'd like to see in it. We'd like to see a national call to action to mental health care providers to work in the veteran community. There are many open positions up in USA Jobs right now for mental health care providers at the VA. We'd really like to see the president call on people to feel compelled to serve in those positions. We'd also like to see a national director of suicide prevention appointed, and that would not just be specific to veterans, just somebody to coordinate all the efforts between the many agencies handling this issue. And then lastly, we'd like to see him really call on America once again to engage in this conversation and really be involved in the veteran space.
And let's get back to the SAVE Act. You say it has sponsors in the Senate, but you're still trying to find them in the House? What's the status of that? And tell us what's in that bill, too.
Sure. So we have Senator Walsh on the Senate who yesterday came out to our press conference to announce that he's going to be introducing the SAVE Act. And on the House side, we're working with several offices. Chairman Miller from House Veterans Affairs Committee, his office has been really engaged in the conversation. Representative Walz, who's a combat veteran himself, has been very engaged in the conversation. And then just yesterday, I had a wonderful meeting with Leader Pelosi, who wanted me to come back to the office before I'd even gotten in the cab. So, there are several offices who are so engaged and they're working amongst themselves just to figure out how to best tackle this, how to best introduce this into the House.
And of course, the presumption is that something happens in warfare. I mean, you mentioned one of the stormers this week is a man named Christopher Goldsmith, who went on 300 missions and left the Army after trying to take his own life. And now I guess presumably he's on the mend mentally and can help you in this effort. But I guess the question is, what about VA and the Defense Department? What would you like to have them do so that when people do leave the military and become veterans, there's some help they get even before the rest of the apparatus kicks in?
Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned, Chris has been, he is one of our stormers this year, and he actually has been a phenomenal leader on this issue. And one of the tenets of the SAVE Act is trying to ensure that there's continuous and seamless care between the DOD and the VA. They've been working on it for a long time, and we think that with a little bit of effort that they can really make that a wonderful program where a soldier or sailor airman goes from the DOD and seamlessly transfers to care from the VA, and there's no gap in care. And we feel like that's a really vulnerable point, is transitioning between the two. There are wonderful programs at the DOD and the VA. One example is the Veterans Crisis Line. We have a great relationship with them. We refer veterans to them on a regular basis. And we think that, there are programs already in existence that work well, and we just want to make sure that those programs have the best tools available to them, and we want to make sure that there are effective programs in place where there aren't already some. So he's been here helping us do that, and just his story in particular, he had a wrongful discharge. He had mental health care concerns and wasn't adequately discharged from the Army because of it, and that's a major part of this effort, is to see those wrongful discharges upgraded, because that really limits their access to care, and that's just one thing we're doing, and Chris has been a leader on that issue in particular.
We're speaking with Lauren Augustine. She is the Legislative Associate for Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. And in general, what do you find is the consistency of care when people move from DOD to VA? That is to say, if they have a provider, a health care provider, a mental health care provider that they like and trust, can they stick with that person over the gap from DOD to Veterans Affairs?
I think that's one of the issues that we're finding, is that there isn't any sort of one answer to that question. It really depends on where you are in the country, your personal story. And that's one of the things that we want to address. It should be a uniform program and a uniform transition. And that's not currently the case. So that's, we can't really answer if it's happening, because it's happening some places, not others. And we really just need to make that uniform so people have something to depend on.
And also, I imagine the fact that when you are still in the military before your discharge, you might have a couple of duty assignments even within the United States, so it's hard to maintain continuity of care when you're physically moving from state to state.
Absolutely. I mean, that's part of the problem. And luckily, we live in an age where technology can really help eliminate some of the barriers to continuous care. And we just want to see those technologies used. Like I said, they've really been putting a lot of effort in recent years to make that happen. And we're just hoping that it'll be 100% effective sooner, and hopefully before we do this major drawdown.
And there's one other question I had about this whole issue, and that is, very often you see television ads depicting the fact that, and you see other materials depicting what is purported to be the fact that only a veteran can understand a veteran's particular issues, which seems to leave out most people from even attempting to help. Can something be done to maybe change that perception so that, well-meaning people that have not been in combat can nevertheless perhaps lend some expertise?
I think that's where the executive order comes into play. We're calling on the president to really call on the American public to become engaged. And if someone's engaged in the veteran community, they do understand. They're there as a resource for veterans. At IAVA, we have many people who are civilians who are just as effective at helping veterans in the veteran community as veterans are. So it's a matter of getting people comfortable with speaking to veterans and speaking in the veteran community. And really, the president can be a leader on that issue.
And so what else is on your legislative agenda during this week, your concluding of Storming the Hill?
Well, our number one is the SAVE Act and our combating veteran suicide. But we do have some outstanding priorities from 2013 that we'd really like to see Congress act on. And that includes advanced appropriations for the entire VA and also in-state tuition for those using the GI Bill.
So VA gets part of its funds in advance, 2 years, but not the whole thing. What are the gaps that you think could help veterans that would fund VA?
Well, right now the VA is advance funded about 85% of their budget, and we'd really like to see that remainder advance funded. In light of the federal shutdown in October, we had a lot of veterans who were very nervous and worried about their benefits, and that's really not a place a veteran should be. A lot of veterans depend on, the GI Bill or disability benefits to get by every month and to use those services. And so we really just want to see those advanced funded so that there is not that worry in case of future government shutdowns.
Now, yesterday we spoke with the Student Veterans of America, and they just did research showing that veterans get about 51% of them manage to get the degree to which they aspire when they use the post-9/11 GI benefits bill. What's your take on the benefits available for education? Are they effective? And are you satisfied with that 51, 52% graduation level?
You know, IVA was a leader in getting the GI Bill, the post-9/11 GI Bill passed. And so I would say as an organization, we're extremely proud of the GI Bill and its usage. 1 million veterans, you know, have gone to school on this GI Bill. So definitely proud as an organization of what that's done. And 51% receiving the degree, you know, that's fantastic. That's half, you know, and of course we'd like to see that number higher, and maybe there needs to be research into what we can do to address that other 50%. But as a GI Bill as a whole, it's an extremely wonderful program. It's very beneficial to our veterans, and like I said, IVA was a leader in getting that passed, and very proud of it as an organization.
And what about the unemployment level of veterans? When you look at the entire group, the statistics from the Labor Department show that they're about equal with the general population. But when you look at the young veterans, the you know, those that are 24 years and younger, which is probably a lot of the IAVA connected people, what are your suggestions for helping the high unemployment level that they are experiencing?
You know, I think that once again circles back to, you know, just a lack of understanding about the veteran experience. Our veterans are coming back with extremely valuable skills, leadership, management, organization, logistics. But it's not always evident. And so I think that it's hard for transitioning service members to understand their worth to the employment sector. And if we can get our veterans to understand their worth and then get employers to understand that worth, I think we'd see that number go down significantly.